One, two, Freddy's coming for you. Three, four, better lock your door. Five, six, grab a crucifix. Seven, eight, gonna stay up late. Nine, ten, never TikTok again.
Another digital citizen.
Another digital citizen.
Another digital citizen.
Another digital citizen. Citizen.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Another Digital Citizen. That's our name, Another Digital Citizen. You have to say it very loudly and very, like, citizen. You have to say it that way, because if you say Another Digital Citizen, that's not our name. It's Another Digital Citizen. Hi, Luke.
Hi, Fro. Hi, everybody. Well, That's if you pronounce it in English. If you pronounce it in a different language, then it has a different affliction, or whatever it's called.
Different
accent to it. So, yeah.
So, how is it in Spanish?
I don't speak Spanish. It's different in Swahili also, so... I also don't speak that. So, I don't.
So, how do I say another digital citizen in Norwegian? Another digital citizen?
Yeah, it sounds right to me. I'm not going to argue with you, so...
That does sound like totally.
That's how all Norwegians sound to me, so it must be true.
Not all Norwegians, come on! Not this Norwegian. I'm special, come on.
You're very special. You're so special. Yeah,
I'll give you I'm a so special.
Gold star.
Yes, I could be in the Special Olympics. That's how special I am. So, how has your week been?
Really good week, actually. Super
like
chill.
I don't know, for some reason, yeah.
I worked a lot because the sun came out here randomly, and it's going to go away now, but it was a sunny, nice, eventful week. Yeah, I had a good week.
Good.
How about you?
It went fast.
I feel that also, yeah.
Yeah. It's just... I had a meeting on Friday that I was not... No, I had it on Thursday. See? I don't even remember what day it is. That I was not looking forward to. That took a lot of energy off me. Then I did something on Friday. I don't really remember. Then I did something nice with you on Saturday. Sunday, I just relaxed and did nothing. And Monday, I did something with you again. And then it was Tuesday. And today, it's podcast day.
Yeah, that's kind of how it's felt. Tomorrow I have a day off, which is going to be nice. I've been going this whole week also, so... Sometimes you got to force yourself to have a day off, and that's what I'm doing tomorrow, hopefully. Right? And
then, are you going...
And then tomorrow I do, like, everything in the world.
Yeah, so tomorrow you're just going to sit there and cry because TikTok is going to be gone?
Well, there's that. Yeah, because I can't get my...
Yes.
My, my videos about making nachos on the countertop of my kitchen. Yeah, I can't. How am I gonna get videos about making gigantic nachos on my kitchen counter? I don't know what I'm gonna do.
Yeah, and how are you going to watch 30 seconds clips of thirst tracks for lesbians on, like, tomorrow?
How am I gonna get my conspiracy theories? Because they took them all off of YouTube and they're all on TikTok now. So I don't know what I'm gonna.
Yeah, how am I going to get Alex Jones? Oh, that's InfoWars. Why couldn't they fucking pass a bill to fucking get InfoWars banned instead of TikTok?
Well, because it's not based in China. We talked about this last week at the end of the show, but nothing had really happened with it yet. But now the House passed the bill... on Wednesday, so the same day we talked about it, but it hadn't gone through yet, that would lead a nationwide ban to popular video app TikTok if its Chinese-based owner doesn't sell stake, as lawmakers act on concerns that the company's current ownership structure is a national security threat to the United States. The bill passed with a 352-65 vote, so overwhelming. And this now goes to the Senate, where its prospects are very unclear, but Biden has said he's going to pass it, so we're not really... I have a feeling that this is going to happen now. Like, last week I was like, this isn't going to happen. Now it's looking like it is going to happen. I don't know, what do you think from an outsider perspective?
That doesn't use TikTok. I do watch a lot of TikTok, but it's through YouTube Shorts. I think it's sad. I mean, I'm not especially for closing down anything that's like... I don't really see the reasoning. I think the reasoning is kind of like bad, to say it mildly. I also think it's kind of... Yeah. It feels a little both too late and a little like... It feels a little... What's the word I'm looking for? Evoke. Strangely enough. Yeah. I don't like... It's stupid. Yeah.
I think it's more of a consolidation of, like, over the past bunch of years... And I even said this in the past when, like, Mark Zuckerberg was getting grilled by Congress and everything for Facebook, is that the government has been, the U.S. government specifically has been, like, consolidating power on the internet to the where each different media platform, social media platform, I mean, has been, has... In some way, every major one has bowed down to the government in some way, giving them information, censoring things they wanted them to censor, or this or that. TikTok is the last one that isn't doing that, and the reason it's not doing that is because it's not owned by a U.S. company. Every other U.S. company is, we're going to do what the government says, because it's the government, and if we don't do what they say, they're gonna mess us up. TikTok is like, we don't have to do that, and that's really why this whole thing is happening, is because they don't have control of the speech that's being said on there, and they want control of what people are saying and how it's being said. I mean, it's the clearest thing is that Trump was so for banning TikTok when originally the reason he wanted to ban it was, remember, TikTok came after him and started buying buying tickets to his show or his rally and bought all these tickets up, so he thought it was going to be this huge sold-out arena. Do you remember this? And then nobody showed up because everybody on TikTok was just trolling him. Do you remember? And that was the first time they were going to ban TikTok, was because Trump got trolled by TikTok. And now Trump is so against banning TikTok. But the opposite administration is for banning TikTok.
It's like they have like shifted position. It feels a little like. Have you ever heard the expression "hot potato wrestling," where like they shift the championship?
Back
and forth.
I mean,
it feels a little like.
I think the question you should be asking is, why does Biden now want to ban TikTok? I mean, there was a clear reason why Trump wanted to. I think it has to do with the bad optics currently happening with younger people who are the people who use TikTok in association with the war in Gaza. That's what I think.
But happily you can get out to into Douyin instead. So you can use that instead of TikTok.
Is that the Chinese version of of Facebook or whatever?
Right. No, of TikTok,
Oh, right. Okay. What's the what's the Facebook for Chinese people? There's a totally different... That's the other funny thing, is that the U.S. government is like, we're going to ban this Chinese company from the U.S. because it's owned by a Chinese company, which answers to the Chinese government. And I guess that's understandable in a way, but at the same time, the Chinese government doesn't allow U.S. social media sites in China. Why is that? Yeah. Because they're owned by U.S. companies. So it's one of those things where it's like, you're doing the exact thing you say China is bad for doing. You see what I'm saying? Now yeah. we're doing the yeah. same thing. So yeah, who's really in the wrong? It's weird.
Yeah. You have Sina Weibo. That is the most popular social media app with more than 605 million people monthly active users. Then you have WeChat.
There we go, WeChat. Yeah, that's what I was thinking of.
And then Douyin on third.
I thought WeChat was number one, but it must have been overtaken since last time I heard about this kind of thing.
Yeah, I have never heard of Sina Weibo in my entire life.
It's got to be new.
This is according to an article at Meltwater. I've never heard of that either, so who the fuck am I?
It says here a video posted on Wednesday evening after the vote, TikTok CEO said that the company has invested to keep data safe and the TikTok platform free of outside manipulation. If passed, he said the bill would give more power to a handful of other U.S. social media companies. That's also true.
Yeah.
I mean, you know that, like, Facebook, Twitter, all these other companies...
are working together.
Let's ban TikTok. We all agree. You know what? I agree with you, government. Let's ban TikTok. But what they're probably not thinking is if they're going after TikTok, they're going to come after you next, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, I don't like it. I think it's stupid. I think it's way too late. I think if they were grabbing data from TikTok to sell to the Chinese government, it's way too late to fucking like.
They have all the data.
They already have.
They're saying is they're going to use TikTok to manipulate people in this. I even heard somebody reference this it's going to be just like the Russians did in the 2016 election using Facebook.
That was so true.
Exactly. Because that actually happened. Buff Bernie bro memes. Really. But they're saying that it's going to be the same as that, except that Russia didn't have control of Facebook and China has control of TikTok. So it's going to be even that much worse. I don't know. I hate TikTok. I'm not a fan of TikTok. It's even gotten worse in the last year with the ads, and TikTok Shop has really ruined the whole app. So I say if you ban it, I don't give a shit, number one. But like, there's a precedent of like, if you do ban it, there's a whole load of things that would be hypocritical of you to do if you were to ban it as America. Yeah,
but happily you never do anything wrong in America. It's not like you have done anything wrong.
We're not hypocritical at all ever about anything.
No, I mean, just look at the war in Iraq. That was totally legitimate and everything was in order there. And, oh, no, it's not. Well, at least you kill people. So there's that.
Yeah, and speaking of giant American companies, Boeing whistleblower found dead in the U.S.
I wonder who killed him.
Former Boeing employee known for raising concerns about the firm's production standards. Have you heard about all the Boeing planes kind of like falling out of the sky recently? In the last, year, there was like one where a door just flew off mid-flight. And there's a ton of them.
Gladly no one was sitting there. that was like everybody was so happy because nobody was sitting exactly where the door blew out.
It's just been, it's almost like last year with the trains, the plane thing is turning into what the train thing was last year, but former Boeing employee has raised concerns about the firm's production. John Barnett worked for Boeing for more than 30 years before retiring in 2017. In the days before he died, he had given evidence to in a whistleblower lawsuit against the company. He said he had died from self-inflicted wounds, quote-unquote, said the police, who were investigating. Mr. Barnett had worked for the U.S. plane giant for decades until his retirement. In 2010, he was employed as a quality control manager at a North Charleston plant. The facility builds 787 Dreamliners. In 2019, Mr. Barnett told BBC that under pressure, workers had deliberately been fitting substandard parts onto aircraft. Yeah. He was...
Yeah, and Epstein killed himself.
Right. So. Yeah. This is very, very suspicious, what's happening here.
No. Luke, how dare you say something like that?
What's it's been,
not suspicious at all.
What I heard is not only... did he, quote-unquote, take his own life, but that days before that, he told his a friend of his or a family member that if I was to die, it's not a suicide, is what he told somebody before this happened.
Strange, right?
Right, and then...
So strange.
Not only that, he was supposed to go home the day before this happened, but the court told him that he couldn't leave the city, and the lawyers for Boeing required him to stay and finish whatever testimonies they were doing, and he had to be in the state for until that was over, and the next day he was found dead. So, suspicious much? I would say a little.
Tiny bit suspicious.
But at the same time, it makes me think of that that documentary on Netflix we watched recently where, you know, everybody in that documentary was like, oh, this is definitely, there's something suspicious. He was, you know, murdered for what he was investigating and everything. And then in that documentary, you realize, okay, it got over since, over... blown by people thinking that there were connections there that weren't there. I don't know, but this definitely is, you know, suspicious.
Do you know what I saw this week? I saw the Stormy Daniels documentary this week.
I saw that was on. I don't know why anybody would want to watch that, but okay.
I really wanted to watch that. It was extremely interesting and actually very, very good. And I thought about that when I read about Trump this week, because holy fuck, in the beginning he's like, Stormy Daniels, who's that? And then he's like, oh, I didn't pay her anything. And then he's like, oh, she's a part of the Democratic Party witch hunt on me. That was kind of funny how she's like, he's like, I don't know her. If I knew her, I didn't pay her. And if I paid her, she's a part of the Democratic Party that's
right to get me. Changing his story over time. Yeah.
Yeah. This week he had some remarks that was kind of out of nowhere.
Former President Trump and his allies are pushing back after Democrats criticized and seized on his comments that were that there would be a quote-unquote bloodbath if he loses the November election. The comments this weekend sparked outrage that the former president was threatening to unleash violence similar to January 6th. Trump and his allies have expressed exasperation and anger over an ensuing firestorm, claiming it was clear in context that the president was discussing economic effects of the auto industry. Okay.
Oh yeah, totally believe that. He said the fake news media and their Democratic partners in destruction of the nation pretends to be shocked on my use of the word bloodbath, even though they fully understand that I'm simply referring to imports allowed by crooked Joe Biden, which is killing the automobile industry. He wrote on Truth Social, the best social network in the world.
Right. Is that? I can't believe that's still a thing. Because like the only reason anybody is on there is to see what Trump is putting out, right? Like why else would anybody be on that site unless I guess they're a racist? Some Republicans who thought Trump's remarks were being taken out of context suggest Trump is baiting his critics, which gives his defenders a reason to rally around him. So do you think this could be he said it in a way on purpose so it. It could be, like, when I heard it, I actually do kind of somewhat agree that it's being blown out of proportion in that what he said wasn't, like, if I lose the election, we're all going to get up and go out of our houses with guns and pitchforks and torches and take over the country. That didn't happen, but yeah. They're kind of... I definitely think it's being blown out of proportion. I think they're taking his words and using them in the way they want to, but at the same time, I think Trump is doing it on purpose to make them do that exact thing, and they're playing right into his hands. Mm-hmm. So, do you think that playing into Trump's hands in this way is good or bad? Because they seem to think it's good.
It's bad. Of course it's bad. Like, it feels like Trump is aware of the Barbara Streisand effect. It's like the opposite of Barbara Streisand effect. It's like he wants to get more known. It's a little like the more people talk about Trump, the more he feels like he's in the news. He's really the emphasis of there are no bad stories. Like, I remember, and I still can't believe I believe this at that moment, but when the tapes came off of him saying I would grab her by the pussy in that bus, I thought his nomination for the Republican Party was over. It had the opposite effect. Like, really, when it comes to him, there are actually no bad news. There are, like, he is actually right that he could probably kill someone in broad daylight and get away with it.
If it was the right person, especially.
Sorry?
If it was the right person, especially.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no. I just think it's... I think all press is bad press, and bad press is good for Trump.
I mean, let me read the exact quote. It says, this is what he actually said. We're going to put 100% tariff on every single car that comes across the line. He's talking about from Mexico into the U.S. Mm-hmm. The line, meaning the border, comes across the line, and you're not going to be able to sell those cars if I get elected, talking to the president of Mexico. Now, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the country. That'll be the least of it, but they're not going to sell those cars. They're building massive factories. So he was talking about cars.
He was talking about cars.
Right.
So fucking stupid.
I think the annoying part is that the media, the mainstream media, has run with it and acted like it wasn't about cars.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, he's doing a dog whistle, which I would accept saying he's dog whistling to people saying there's going to be a bloodbath but using it in a way that doesn't sound like talking about an actual uprising. Mm-hmm. I could understand them saying in media this is a dog whistle to his followers and this is horrible, but to actually say that he's calling for some kind of bloodbath, that's just not what he said. So I think that's disingenuous in a way.
Yep. Oh, okay. From one stupid thing to another stupid thing, let's talk about Pornhub. Or actually, should we listen to the thing first?
Let's watch this video. This is from, I think it's from some local news station in Texas. So give me a countdown.
Yeah, it's called KXN Austin. So. Okay. In 3, 2, 1, go.
Well, Texans are now blocked from the adult website Pornhub. The site cut off access over its objection to a new state law that requires age verification measures to protect minors from being exposed to obscene materials. Now, the pornography media platform joined a federal lawsuit against Texas leaders after the bill passed back in September. But the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals allowed the law to take effect. Now, in a lengthy statement, Pornhub said in part, quote, as we've seen in other states, such bills have failed to protect minors by driving those users from the sites which do comply to the thousands of websites with far fewer safety measures in
place.
That is
very, very true. Comply.
State Senator Angela Paxton, who introduced the bill, wrote on social media, quote, after insistent fighting against it, the pornography industry is being forced to comply with the law.
Yeah, that is interesting. I don't really understand why people that, like, dig coal and things like that should not be allowed to be on Pornhub, but that's me.
Dig coal? What do you mean? Like...
Yeah, are they not miners?
Oh, I see what you're saying. I think they're saying, which Pornhub is saying, I think is accurate in that...
Yeah.
Trying to dissuade young people from not looking at porn through legal means is just forcing them into a black market area, which that is the worst place you could both, number one, consume porn and also for porn to be produced for people. Because doing this is not only going to drive consumers into the black market, but the more, because this isn't the first state to ban it in the U.S. This is like the eighth or ninth state to ban Pornhub. The more you do that, the more the production of porn will be driven into the black market, and that's when you really start to see something bad happening, right? That's when criminal gangs start to get involved. This is like the drug war, but with porn. You know, that kind of mentality where, like, all of a sudden, once it goes into the black areas, then you have cartels and shit who are starting to get involved because there's dark money to be made, you know? And that's where I think the worst part of this could be. I also think having to give your ID, like a government ID, and showing the government, like, who is going to keep all the records of what porn you're looking at? Because you know that's going to happen.
Yeah, and it's not like anybody has it in VPN either. Like, it's so hard to get, like, out of this.
I was reading an article yesterday about Texas, and the number one Google search in Texas over the last week was VPNs.
VPN?
Yeah.
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 Why doesn't that surprise
me? Right, exactly. So it's not like you're actually fixing the problem either. All you're doing is making things inconvenient, and also, like I said, pushing the industry and the consumers into darker areas of the internet and actual society, which it's just bad.
Yeah, I had a conversation about this. It's kind of funny because I had a conversation about this with someone that I knew that works at the hospital where I go sometimes when I'm have a mental break. And I said to them, do you think the hospital is aware that closing access to sites doesn't really work, and that I when I use the internet in places where it's like so everybody can go on the same network, I always use a VPN? Like, do you think they are aware of that? Do you think they care? And she's like, no, I don't think they are aware. They don't know what the VPN is.
I don't think it feels like that's their job to even worry about it either, though. So
no, right? But it's the same, like, regulating things. Like, are they not aware of a VPN? Like, what they're doing here is just stupid. It is a law for absolutely nothing but showing people that you have a law.
Like, right?
It feels a little like, why?
It's like a weird tough-on-crime thing, but with...
Yes.
It's very 1980s Save the Children book-burning, like, except with websites instead of actual physical books, right? Yeah, totally.
Okay, TV. I have seen one of the worst reality shows in the world, Luke.
Okay.
I can't wait for you to see this. It is so good.
I mean, there's been some bad reality shows, so it's got a lot to hold up to.
It is the spin-off of Vanderpump Rules, and it's called The Valley. Okay. It has a whooping good rating on IMDb of 3.4, Luke. That's how you know it's good.
Yeah, I love all the Vanderpump properties, the Vanderpump CU.
MCU, yes.
No, it's the VCU, is what it is.
The VCU. it follows people from Vanderpump Rules. I think you will be very, very, very fucking confused if you have never seen an episode of Wonderbump Rules. But gladly, I am a very, very staunch follower of them. So I wasn't very confused. But I think some people would be very, very confused if they didn't know, because it's a sequel, and it's like it's assuming that you have watched everything,
right?
And I think my biggest complaint is actually that Lisa is not in it, maybe. So it feels a little like, oh, you know us from this, but we are now going to follow them instead. And it's just like, it's bad, and it feels very outdated and very, like, I hate it when people, like, you have to have seen everything before it to have any enjoyment of it. And also, it's incredibly stupid and very, very bad, because it's like, why do you want to see this? Like, it's just bad. I give it a 2.5.
Okay, yeah, it came out last night. Yeah, so I haven't gotten a chance to see it. I saw, let's talk about, what, Girls on the Bus, which was on Max.
Yeah, Girls on the Bus, da, round and round.
Which, it actually is a play on the Hunter S. Thompson book, I think, right? Yeah. Boys on the Bus.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sick and tired of this character type in TV shows.
Me too, yeah.
Do we have to have the exact same character type in 70% of every show? Like,
yeah, I know.
It's the same character. I'm fine with each different show having a different, like, she has a different career. She has a different group of friends, but it's always, she is trying hard in her life, or specifically her job, to make it, but she just can't quite get there. But then her and her ragtag group of friends, they have to overcome the whatever corporation this is to make a name for themselves. It's every single, like, every storyline arc and every character, it's all, I'm sick of it. I'm sick of the same, watching the same shit over and over again.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you.
This is about a woman who is trying to get ahead in her journalism job, specifically covering politics. And her and a bunch of people who, at the beginning, they don't get along, but they realize if they work together, they can get the scoop on this story, and all their careers will be better. But it kind of flashes forward and backwards in time and shows you that at the end it's not going to work out well, I guess. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I'm sick of this character. I've seen this character too many times at this point, and I'm just done with it.
And also, it wasn't that good. So, that doesn't really help either.
It didn't feel like an HBO show either. It definitely felt more network TV, like an ABC, NBC type show. It felt like HBO maybe bought it from another, you know, bought it from somewhere else that had produced it. Not, it definitely wasn't an HBO type show to me. I don't know. What would you give it? I'm definitely, I think you can hear how I feel about it.
Yeah, no, I gave it a 4.5. I didn't like it. I thought it was boring, trite, and done 600 times before.
I'd give it a 4, yeah. I hated it, but at the same time, it's fine as far as, like, the production and everything.
It's totally
of it.
Okay, yeah.
It's just so, I'm so sick of the same story over and over again. Like, let's make some new, let's make some new stories, guys.
Yeah. Should we talk about one of the shows that we both watched?
Sure.
Together? Let's talk about Chicken Nugget first, maybe.
Okay, this Korean was show? On,
Yes, this was on Netflix, and I very much enjoyed it. It was Cuckoo Strange Crazy. It's about a workplace where they find this machine that a lady uses, and she sets chicken nugget inside of it and turns into a chicken nugget. But we should say it's not like the McDonald's chicken nuggets at all. It's like...
It's got to be a translation thing from Korean to English that it's called chicken nugget. Because like I was saying...
It looks like a chicken meatball.
Right. It's a fried chicken ball. But but it's like dipped in sauce already. But yeah, it's a chicken nugget, I guess, right? I don't know what else I would call popcorn chicken, I guess, in America more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's not breaded or anything. It has sesame seeds.
I think it was breaded. It.
No, was it?
Yeah, I think so. It just It looks strange, but I think that's breading, like the outside part of it. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
It didn't look breaded because it had sesame seed on it. And if it had sesame seed on it, wouldn't the sesame seed, like, fall off the breading?
No, they even said that in the show, that the sauce is so sticky, remember? That no matter... Remember they tried with the three sesame seeds? Remember that?
Yes.
Okay. They addressed that problem.
But yeah, no, I super enjoyed it. I actually watched four episodes. Yeah, four episodes out of ten. Manga or
it was either a manga or a cartoon or an anime of some type. It was definitely felt like a live action version of a cartoon. Like, bright colors, flashy, the characters are very flamboyant and over-the-top and cartoony feeling, which we didn't know until the end of episode one. We saw in the credits, it was like, said something based on this property or something. We're like, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. I super enjoyed it, but it is a little out there. I think people... I laughed almost like myself to that. I loved it, but I can see people. There are some bad things about it as well.
It's a little cheesy, for sure.
And it took a little while to get going. But and the premise is totally out of left field as well.
It has some indie feel, like the cutaways to talking about outer space and death and all these other things. That I can see how people wouldn't like that also.
But I'm going to give it an 8.
I would give it a 8.5. It's the thing about it is it's very different and inventive and felt like unique, and I like that about it.
Yeah.
Apples Never Fall, I guess? Yeah, let's talk about that.
Okay, the second thing we watched together. Sure.
Peacock?
Peacock!
It's a murder... mystery type show, I guess.
I don't know.
Right, it's got a lot of big actors in it. It's got Annette Bening and Alison Brie. Yeah, Jake Lacy, and it's got So the acting was decent. The cinematography is really good. The storyline is about a woman who goes missing. I guess I don't want to say she gets murdered because or anything, but. The husband is kind of like, she said she was going to be back soon. And then his story changes and he's got a scar in his face. And the kids of the mother are like, trying to get a hold of her and nobody can seem to get in touch with her. And the whole time you're questioning the whole point of the show is to make you as the viewer question, each individual, character as though maybe they're the suspect. Oh, now maybe they're the suspect. Oh, wait, now maybe they're the suspect, which I like that about it, but it also feels a little rehashed as far as the show goes.
Yeah, I have never seen Gone Girl before. or anything. Yeah, no, it felt very rehashed. I did what I usually do when I watch shows like this. I watched two episodes, and then I watched the last one.
That's what I did, too. That's hilarious. Yeah. Maybe that was just this show, because it's like, it has a mystery thing where you want to know the mystery, but I don't want to spend the time to go through all the like bullshit.
I could not care about the middle whatsoever. And I think here's the thing. Now that I know the ending, and I know like what was the plot of it, I think it's even more stupid.
It was a show that even when we got to the end of episode one, I was like, this show is gonna waste my time. It's going to drag itself on purpose and like give me a bunch of red herrings on purpose, specifically to kind of mess with me. And I understand that, but it's just too obvious. This show was too obvious with that setup, you know? Yeah.
Sorry, I had to sneeze. Yeah, no, I totally get it. And I like, especially when I saw the ending, I thought it was one of the worst endings in quite a while. But I will give it a 6.5, I guess. I feel very nice giving it a 6.5, but
I think the production and the acting was good enough that, yeah, I gave it a 6 also, so
yeah.
I think 6.5, like, the problem is the drawn-outness of it, and it's like,
yes,
you didn't need to it could have been, like, it would have been a better 1.5-hour movie than a TV show.
Yes.
That's what it is. Yes. Exactly. Yeah. Yes.
Okay, I watched America's Backyard Gold, Luke.
Okay.
Because that is a show. What do you think it is about? Well, I can't really ask you that because I told you about this.
Right.
But it has genuinely a 10 out of 10 on IMDb with one rating. So that was kind of funny. I have to read something about it. This is a future review that says, "I love how Dave, the guy in the show, proves that you don't have to be an expert gold miner or mountain man to find gold. You can find gold with minimal equipment and moderate knowledge easily. There's a lot of gold left that in America. Finding gold is a lot easier than you might think. Anyone that can fish, hike, or go on a simple walk in the woods is capable of finding gold." One of the main points of the show is you don't need thousands of dollars of equipment to get in the game.
Okay.
These are real people getting real gold with minimal impact on to land and wildlife. When it comes to recreational gold mining, this is a very accurate show.
I don't hate the idea. I think it all would depend on if the characters are interesting or not, right?
Yeah, no. The guy that is in it is called Dave Turin, and he looks like Locke from
Lost?
Oh, Lost, thank you.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a stupid Discovery reality show. I do agree that it's better than most reality shows in the way that at least it's kind of interesting. I love the aspect of him going to random people in the world or in America, going and digging gold in their literal backyard.
Does he have thing where he's like, "Oh, there might be gold here, so I'm gonna go dig," or is it just like, "I'm just gonna go to a random ass fucking house and show up and be like, hey, what's up? I'm gonna dig in your backyard now." Like, no, does he use any kind of, you know, or
it's more the first, but
okay,
you have to kind of see it,
right? But, right.
I'm going to give it a 6, a very nice 6.
I think it would be funnier if he didn't have any clue what he was doing and he's just like. Just walking up to random houses and just digging giant holes in their yard and being like, "I don't know, could be here."
Yeah,
you never know where gold's gonna show up.
True.
I just had the one last thing to talk about, unless you have something else.
I also have that one thing.
Okay, Quiet on Set, what was the... There was some other part of it. The Dark Side...
The Dark Side of Kids TV.
There you go. It was about Dan Schneider, the Nickelodeon producer who produced, iCarly, The Amanda Show was, like, the big one they really... I guess All That and The Amanda Show were the two that they really focused on in this series, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was about how he's a creep, which I think everybody's known for a long time.
Yeah.
I think if you've been online in the last 10 years, you know that he's a creep. But for some reason, everybody who isn't online didn't realize it. Like, we're going to talk about it, that he apologized because this documentary came out on television.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't he apologize years ago when everybody already... This was not... a secret. This isn't like a bombshell documentary that oh my gosh, did you see the documentary that just revealed this thing? No, this is something that we all knew, right? Yeah.
Yeah, no. It feels like a very, like... I liked it. Don't get me wrong.
Sure.
I watched all four episodes.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was very, very interesting. It was very informative. As someone that's not American, I think I got more out of it than someone like you, because I didn't grow up on iCarly and things like that.
That's true.
I mean, I have seen Drake and Josh and The Amanda Show and Sam and Cat and Zoe 101 later in life, but I didn't really grow up on it.
It was kind of right after... Because I was pretty much in high school when... I was older than these shows were targeting. Like, I saw them occasionally, but I never, like, followed them because I was too old for most of these shows at the time.
I mean, it is the show that more or less created Ariana Grande, so... And a lot of stars have come out of Nickelodeon, so...
I mean, the big one they cover in this is Amanda Bynes, who is not actually in the show... that was one thing I thought the Nickelodeon stars they did get weren't really like the big name stars, right?
I agree. Yeah.
They didn't have Ariana Grande on there. They didn't have any of the Drake and Josh, which they covered quite a bit. I just don't think anybody wanted to be involved in it for whatever reason.
And I totally get that.
Right.
Like, you don't want. You don't want things like that from your past to cloud what you're doing now, and I totally get that. Like, if you don't want to talk about it, nobody needs to fucking force you to do it. But that did it definitely hurt the documentary in some ways.
I thought the focus on the instead of focusing on in certain areas of the documentary, they focused. Not enough on the actual children, and instead focused on these adults who were also involved in the situation and that they were being manipulated by him. And it's like, that's not what the problem... Like, maybe that was an issue for you at the time, but that's not the thing we should be focusing on here. Like, that you got fired from your job one time.
Yeah.
There were bigger issues at hand in this scenario. I think the reaction to it, not just today, this has been out for 3 days, and now people are starting to react to it. I think because Dan Schneider made a response to it on YouTube, on his YouTube channel, in like a fake little sit-down interview, I think the reaction to it is kind of weird in that it took a while for the media to react to it, and that he responded to this, but chose never to respond to these allegations for years and years and years, even though they've been made about him for online forever. But because it's on TV, now he chooses to respond to it. I don't understand that part of it, you know?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. there, like I said, there are things about it that I didn't like. But let's give it a documentary score. I gave it a 7.5.
There are certain parts about it that I thought were pretty not great. It felt like they could have gone deeper into certain things also. Maybe I'm going to give it a 5.5.
Okay.
But yeah, like should I talk said, about it? Go ahead.
No. Like I said, I do think that not being an American, it felt very much more made for me than you.
I guess so. And have you followed this saga online as far as like okay, because I've seen probably hundreds of YouTube documentaries about this guy, and like this,
right? And
so it's like
seen zero. Yeah.
So this has been covered, and I feel that's what makes me weirded out about the response is that just because it was put on Netflix, now people are reacting to it.
Not on Netflix, was it?
Max. Sorry.
Yeah.
Just because it was put on like a actual streaming service, now people are reacting to this, and he's doing a response, even though everybody knew this was a thing for years and years and years. Yeah. Like, why does it have to be that you make a documentary for people to react to it? Like I said, yesterday, he released a 19-minute video on his YouTube channel with an interview with Boogie, who played a character on iCarly, who interviewed him and talked to him in reaction to the series, which he said was difficult. He said, me facing my past behaviors, some of which are embarrassing, and that I regret, I definitely owe some people a pretty strong apology. He also said that he had to go, as far as like the decisions on how the show was made, that he had to take everything to his bosses above him, and they had to sign off on everything. So he's not taking full responsibility either.
Yeah, and he also didn't really talk about the pedophilia aspect of it either.
He didn't talk about feet at all, which we didn't talk about it either, but he was like super into feet, specifically children's feet. Right.
Yeah. Him and what's the director's name again? the Tarantino.
Right, I guess so. Yeah, but I think this was a little more nefarious because at one point he did a contest to have kids who were watching this children's show send in pictures of their feet to him. Right, that was really weird.
Yeah, and I mean, he did deny fostering toxic work environment and sexualizing child actors, so.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah, it's just, and the response is also weird to it, like I said, so.
But it has become so popular that they have already said season 2 is coming out, so there's that.
Sure.
Let's talk about something nicer. Among Us.
Speaking of kids and kids shows, Among Us show, TV show revealed. I'm sure nobody from this will have a drug problem in the future. Among Us. let's see who's Among Us TV show has a voice cast: Randall Park, Ashley Johnson, Elijah Woods, Nicole Brown from Community. Who else? Sounds pretty. Those are good voice actors. I like all those people. Yeah. I mean, that doesn't mean what is the show gonna be? That's the big question.
I don't know.
Right, because the game doesn't really have... Like, it has a point, but it doesn't have a storyline. You know what I'm saying? They're going to have to make a storyline for it.
I'm going to guess it's going to be a murder mystery show. I mean, that's
that
what
could
you
be
do.
Fun. It's going to be a cartoon, obviously, so...
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. I liked the headline. Among Us TV show reveals the cast, but not the imposters.
That's so funny. It just makes me think like Angry Birds, where they just there's no actual story to it, so they just have to make up a story about the thing, the characters. Yeah.
Okay, Jimmy Kimmel, the brother of Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah, he holds water a lot. Like, he can hold water for a long time.
He's Jimmy Kimmel. Me speak very good English.
Mm.
Jimmy Kimmel is producing a cannabis series for Hulu.
Okay. I don't know why. Jimmy Kimmel, the guy known for smoking weed all the time.
And being a camel.
And it's being released on 420, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this is incredibly out of date, and nobody needs a stoner comedy in 2024, but maybe that's just me.
I have absolutely no idea. This is going to be atrocious, isn't it?
Stoner comedies were big in the early 2000s. Weed's legal in enough places that this isn't like a, oh, that's so crazy and zany and wacky. But he said, it says it's going to be on Hulu, a 6-episode series called High Hopes, a docuseries following two brothers running a cannabis shop in Los Angeles. Oh, it's a docuseries about a weed dispensary. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be amazing. That and Travis Kelce hosting Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader?
Apparently it's going to be on... It's going to be on ITV also.
Yeah.
ITV America specifically in the UK. Oh, interesting. All right.
Yeah. Did you see that? That Travis Kelce is going to be the host of Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader?
I'm not surprised by that. There was like a huge... article about him, there was a huge push to make him like the NFL's it guy, and then the Taylor Swift thing happened after that. Like, that was just like a special accident, according to them. He just happened to get in a relationship with her,
Mr. Beast, is he going to go from YouTube to TV? Well, yes,
apparently. I don't like this. I feel like every YouTuber that goes to TV, it ruins their not only career, but reputation most of the time.
What do you mean, Mark? What's his name?
Mark Rober?
Mark Rober, yeah.
Lily Singh? The first one I can think of was those guys who made giant things of food. What were those guys with muscles with glasses and everything?
Yes,
they made this horrible TV show. That was the first one I remember. But Mr. Beast, a YouTuber known for giving away lots of money, is getting a new show on Amazon Prime. That's also a little bit of a red flag. Mega popular YouTuber Jimmy Donaldson announced a deal with Prime Video for Beast Games, a reality competition show promising a winner $5 million cash prize. This is believed to be the largest single payout ever in TV history. Okay.
And that is not correct, but okay.
And Mr. Beast is like, I do that like every other video. I don't know what, what. I do that every other YouTube video.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't like it.
You knew it had to happen eventually. It's Mr. Like, he is too big for them not to make a TV show, but it's just the track record, like we said, of YouTubers making TV shows is zero. There were zero good YouTuber TV shows.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. Yeah, I'm sure you can find a book about that. Where can they find that?
If you want a book about Mr. Beast, you go to Audible Trial and find an audiobook. That's audibletrial.com/ADC. That's audibletrial.com/ADC. If you want a free audiobook and a free 30-day trial to Audible, go there. It'll help us out.
Okay, I have to start with something. At the end of last week, you said that the Netherlands is a part of the Nordic countries. It is not. Just have to tell everybody that.
Okay.
Yeah. It's definitely not a Nordic country. I don't know why every American believes that. It's not only you. It's everybody.
It might be just a weird distinction. Sure.
Yeah, I don't know. But let's talk about the three countries we are talking about. Let's start with the UK with Ollie Alexander with Dizzy. I really like this song.
I mean, it was okay. It's hard to tell what the performance is going to be like. The lyrics are a little trite, but the song, it's like the beat and everything is pretty good.
Yeah, it makes me want to dance, and that's a good thing. I think they will do pretty good. I mean, they are directly qualified.
I was going to say, it's definitely going to be in there. I don't know.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it's one that I'm going to put top of the list, but maybe lower in the top 10, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that will be
8 or 9, something like that.
8 or 9, somewhere, yeah. But I give it an 8.
I think it has a built-in audience of people who would vote for it also, like, that just would enjoy this type of music and everything, but we'll see what the actual, stage performance looks like,
because
this is a music video.
Because it could definitely fall in
quality.
In ranking.
Right.
Yeah, and ranking before we see it live, it's kind of hard. But what I have seen of it, I give it an 8.
That's the other thing about the voting that's annoying, is that, like, is that going to affect it? Because people can vote beforehand now, so...
I know. Yeah. Something I still believe is fucking stupid. Okay, London Eurovision Song Contest screening party is cancelled. Why is that?
Because the organizers said... It's due to Israel's participation, and that the song contest is not a contest between governments. So they're basically protesting Israel's participation. I think the venue specifically protested it, and then the organizers went along with the venue, right? That's what I'm to understand.
Mm-hmm.
The venue was the one that was really like... it's a long-standing relationship they have with Eurovision. Mm-hmm. They've done it for years and years, right? At this specific venue.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so this venue was like, we're going to boycott it. And they could have probably just moved it somewhere else, but they chose not to. That's what I'm to understand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it feels a little sad. I guess it's not that strange, but I just... Yeah, the whole Israel thing is kind of... Ugh.
It's putting a damper on the happy nature of the song contest itself. I think it would be better... It would have been better for everybody involved to just, you know, for them to bow out gracefully and to just, have everybody be... Have it, you know, for the good of the whole song contest itself. I also think...
I agree.
It's not only that they were protesting. I bet you the venue was probably like, we don't want the possibility of not only protests outside and a bad look for us, but like there's a possibility of violence or other things. So,
yeah. Okay, let's talk about Netherlands. Joost Klein with Europapa, papa, papa, papa.
I love this song. This is a good song.
It is
good
so
song.
Good. I just love it so much. I play it all the time.
I don't.
It's so good.
I think it should be probably ranking higher, but it. I don't. Do people love this song or not? That's what I'm wondering.
I don't know. It's like in the rankings. Croatia is highest. Italy, Switzerland, and then the Netherlands. So it's pretty high on the rankings.
Okay, yeah, it's really fun. It's a music video, but the song itself is just, it's comedic, but it's also really poppy. It kind of, what does it remind me of? I guess, like, there's a few artists it reminds me of, like Young Lean a little bit, who's he's Swedish, I think, and then, Oliver, what's his name? The guy who's on
from H3. Yeah.
Reminds me of that
Oliver
guy
Tree.
A little.
Yeah.
Oliver Tree. It's got an Oliver Tree kind of feel to it. The lyrics are really fun and actually kind of well done. So, yeah, this one, I'm going to give this song like an 8.5.
I like it better. I like it 9.5. Love it. Love it. And I think my highlight is his hat.
I have a feeling this will be like a fan favorite kind of thing happening.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about a country that will probably not be in the final. Because, holy shit. It's Hera Björk from Iceland with Scared of Heights. What did you think about this?
It was a throwback kind of song, but I think it's because this lady was famous in the 80s. I think we talked about that in the past. Mm-hmm. It feels, from the past, it doesn't feel 2024 Eurovision. It feels like, what 1982 Eurovision?
Iceland was like, nah, we don't want to host this next year. Let's send this.
Maybe that is the case. She, I think, is like, she must be somewhat famous and everything, so that's how she probably got voted in. She's a good singer. It's just the stage performance isn't good, and the song, the lyrics are very, very boring. Everything's kind of bland. It's bland.
It's a song. Yeah. It's a song I have heard 628 billion times before on Eurovision.
Right.
Yeah, I'm going to give it the one. I really, really didn't like it.
I'd give it a 3. I mean, her voice is fine. That's the only good thing about it. All right, next week, another Dork Cinema Week, where we do film news of the week. Interesting stuff happening in film. Oscars and Razzie results, which happened a couple weeks ago, mm-hmm. but we're going to talk about it. Movies that we saw of the month. We're going to do another digital review of Dune 2, which will be the first time we do that. On that show, because we've done another digital review, but it's going to be the first time for Triv to do it with us, I guess. And then the movies coming out next month, we'll go through that and figure out what's going to be good, what's going to be bad. Yeah, that's next week.
I'm looking forward to talking to you guys about Dune 2, because I have seen it.
Oh, cool. Awesome.
Yeah. Okay, we also talked about Ariana Grande last week. I was like, oh, is she the worst? And you said, oh, yeah, she's the worst. And I was like, oh, I didn't know.
Well, they were split up, but because you didn't know the whole... Everybody hated... Well, not hated, but people are not happy with Ariana Grande because she cheated on her husband with a guy who was also married... And they were working on the set of the Wicked together. Mm. And that's when they hooked up, I guess. So that movie is also tainted by this whole thing because the guy she cheated with just had like had a baby like months before it was found out. Yeah. And then he split up with his wife who just had a child. The whole thing was very scandalous for sure. People were not happy with it. Especially since people, you know, Ariana Grande was always kind of known as, like, what, the Disney, the Disney Nickelodeon princess. Disney girl, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It says Grande will make a one-time payment of $1,250,000 to Gomez with no future payments and give him half of the proceeds of their Los Angeles home and will pay up to $25,000 of his attorney fees. So, at least it seems like they amicably split up, even though it was not she definitely did him dirty, for sure.
Yeah, the whole situation felt a little, like, weird, to be honest.
Have you seen the guy she cheated on him with?
Yes.
Who played SpongeBob. He's on Broadway, yeah.
Yep. He's not what I would call attractive.
What I'm to understand is he, like, in the Broadway scene, he's, like, well known for being, you know, being hot shit. And so he's, like,
Really?
In that world, he's, like, the man. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I watched some YouTube things this week.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of a channel called Nile Red?
Yeah, we've talked about it on here before.
Oh, yeah. Did you see they're turning styrofoam into cinnamon candy?
I watched part of it. I didn't finish the video, but yeah, I've watched part of it. It was good.
Yeah, it's really good. Yeah, yeah. Really cool.
He I just listened to an interview with him on a podcast, and he said he's got, like, so many ideas he's working on right now that he's stopped coming up with new ideas for videos because he's making, like, 30 videos right now at a time. And he's like, I have so many ideas currently happening that I'm planning on putting out 4 to 6 videos this in the entire year of 2024. But I have so many ideas. Yeah, so look forward to more coming out from that guy because it sounds like he's got a lot
in the tank. And he's really, really, really good.
Yeah, and he's like, super smart also.
So clever, yeah.
It's just funny because his personality comes off as though you wouldn't be entertained by him, but he's super entertaining. That's the weird part about it. Let's talk about... let's talk about the Meat Canyon video. Did you watch it before I sent it to you last night? Or
yeah, I did, yeah.
Right. About Norwegian death metal. I thought that... I mean, obviously the Norway connection was super interesting, but, like, you must have grown up during that time in Norway. And so you must remember the whole, like... I mean, there must have been people who were not only obviously upset about it, but there were people who were like, this is bad. I know in America, in my childhood, people being like, oh, did you hear about this? It's so fucking crazy badass, like, metal. It's so badass metal, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it was super, super, super controversial in Norway. I mean, of course it was.
I mean, it was controversial enough that it was a thing when I was a kid. I heard about it when I was a child, like in the... Yeah. Late 90s, whatever. It was big enough of a scandal to get over here, so yeah.
Was that the first time that you actually knew of Norway, do you think, in that context?
I mean, it's hard to say, but maybe, honestly. And for years, I remember mixing it up that some of it happened in Iceland, because there were other things with the death metal scene that happened in Iceland.
Yes.
And so for years I mixed those things up, that they were, like, related. And so, yeah. But he did a good job of covering everything, and especially making fun of the people who were in the scene at the time, calling them, like, babies and things. Yeah, very funny video. Yeah. Go check that out.
I really enjoyed him. And, he took it serious, and I felt like it was very, very, very interesting for me as a Norwegian as well.
Meat Canyon's moving over to this new format from what he used to do, and he's
so much better.
Yeah, I don't know whether it's just different, you know, and it's still good. Yeah, yeah. That's what I think. Yeah.
Ryan Tran.
A new video from Ryan Tran. What was it about again?
He tested 1-star drive-thrus.
Oh, right, because the last one he did was like the most expensive drive-thru meals or whatever. And that did really well. Yeah, his videos are always just, like, super chill, right?
Yeah, it's super chill, very, very nice to watch, and he's so fucking funny.
It feels like it's really, the opposite really of a funny Mr. Beast video, but at the same time feels almost like Mr. Beastie. I don't know, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I see what you mean there.
The JoJo Siwa controversy that's been happening? Number one, there was a whole thing of her... mistreating kids who were on her reality show, which also was involving her mother, but now she's coming out with some new music video, and this is all after, like, the Colleen Ballinger stuff, right?
Yeah.
And everybody is going, this girl doesn't realize that she went through some seriously traumatic shit, and now she's doing the same things that other people who have gone through the same dramatic traumatic shit in the past, she's redoing she's rehashing the cycle, right? She's not breaking the cycle of those things, and it seems like somebody needs to get through to her and make her realize, like, if you continue down this path, yes, it could go well, but at the same time, the track record shows that you're going to be a drug addict getting 5150'd in about 5 years, right?
It's terrible.
It could go well. It went well for Miley, I guess. That's what everybody's saying.
Did it really go good for Miley?
No, not really. And she also had her dad being Billy Ray Cyrus, which was a big help. Right.
Well, Ampa Will, talking about the vegan teacher,
That was very interesting. The vegan teacher saying that she was the reason why him and Chris is dating. That is so fucking funny because they knew each other before that.
Oh yeah, we talked about. Oh, I talked about this last week, but you watched it. You watch the other video by Chris?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, there's I think they didn't specifically say it, but it seems like there may be some kind of like restraining order or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It feels like that. Yeah.
Right. Some sad news. Bingo 98, which I really loved. Yeah. It's not going to return, Fro.
No, I heard about that.
But what will be returning is Bingo XP.
Yay!
We're up. The computer's been upgraded, so.
Yay!
I think it's going to happen sometime in the next couple weeks, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. I have nothing else.
I mean, there was the Fresh and Fit thing against H3, but it really wasn't that eventful, so not much to say there. I don't think either side won that debate.
Stupid. No, both of them were terrible.
Right, yeah.
I watched it through... I think Destiny watched it. Because he's friends with one of the guys from Fresh and Fit.
Okay.
I don't remember which one of them. And it's just like, yeah. No, both of them came out so fucking bad.
I didn't watch it, but I've seen things about the Lex Friedman Destiny...
oh my god.
It was not good for Destiny.
That was so terrible.
What a disaster. I mean, I didn't watch it because it's like 6 hours long, and I'm not going to spend 6 hours watching it, but this guy, what's the older guy, Norm, whatever his name is, that guy just destroyed Destiny. Yeah. It was bad.
It was so terrible.
I mean, the thing is, Destiny has a bad grasp on his side of the of everything, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Like, he was out of his depth.
I'm a Destiny fan, and I can totally admit that is one of the most cringiest things I have ever seen, and I have seen all 6 hours of it.
Like, oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, no, it's terrible. Terrible, terrible.
I just saw the recap stuff, so...
Yeah. Anyway, that's everything.
That's it.
Where are you from, and what's your name?
I'm from the U.S. My name's Luke.
What is my name again?
Triv, I think? Oh, no, wait. That's Triv? Next week.
Okay. Then I'm Trun? Trun?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, bye.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Another digital citizen.
Another digital citizen.
Another digital citizen.
Another digital citizen. 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 Citizen.